Well, good morning or good afternoon, everyone. This is Barb Pello, and I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar, Customer Intimacy, Strategies for Building Long-Term Relationships, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. Before we get started, what I would like to do is just give you a couple of reminders. At the front end, what you saw were a number of tips for attendees on the video play. If you haven't had a chance, there's a widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. And so if you missed those tech tips on the video, you can click on that widget for more information. Now, what we've learned is that businesses have relied on technologies and new products as their competitive advantages in the marketplace. As global competition heats up and there are more and more technological advances, products are becoming commodities. Organizations are looking for new battlegrounds for differentiation and adding customer value. Those savvy marketers are seeking out techniques that are building true customer intimacy. And through focused communications, they're showing their customers that they understand and that they can even anticipate what they want, how they want it, and when they want it. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by two people that I think are experts in the field of customer intimacy. The first is Chris Illman, and Chris is the president of One Touchpoint. And the second is Larry Nestel, and Larry is the manager of advertising production at Kohler. Now, during this webinar, what you're going to get is their perspectives on the meaning of customer intimacy, how to leverage data to attract new customers, and how to really go about nurturing those long-term relationships that build better and much more effective communications. Throughout the course of the webinar, we'll be taking your questions. And so you can see that Q&A tab on there. Just key in your question. I'll be monitoring it, and we'll ask them as they come in. Now, relative to content for today, I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the meaning of customer intimacy. You're then going to hear from Chris Illman, and Chris is going to talk about strategies that you need to put in place for building and nurturing those long-term relationships. And then I think we're all familiar with the Kohler brand. I know I've got Kohler products throughout my house, from every sink to every toilet. And what we're going to do is Larry Nestel is going to share with you how Kohler approaches customer intimacy. We'll wrap up with a couple of recommendations and conclusions. And again, we'll be answering any of your questions throughout the webinar. Now, when we think about customer intimacy, there are several facets involved. The first and foremost component is that you need to know the people you sell to. You need to understand what moves them, what triggers them to take action, what matters to them, and what do they value in your offering. And that's really the first part of customer intimacy. The second piece is you need effective marketing channels to communicate your offerings. How are you going to reach those customers? You've got to select the right channels to reach those leads, prospects, and loyal customers. And then you've got to obviously make them that offer they can't refuse. And the third is you really have to maintain control over that sales cycle conversion process. You've got to look at how long it takes to move that average sales cycle, how you can improve the quality of your sales funnel, how you can improve conversion rates, and the key to understanding what moves those conversion rates is truly that intimate understanding of your customer base. And so when we think about customer intimacy, what we're talking about is not just building a large quantity of leads, but it's about building a relationship with those customers to convert those leads into incredibly loyal customers. And one of my favorite examples happens to be the one on this screen. And what is it? It's Apple. And I can guarantee you that of the almost 500 people that we have on this webinar, what you're seeing is that most of you have got some form of an Apple product within reach. And what they've learned how to do is take that Apple brand and build an intimate relationship with, in fact, you, the customer. One, by the way, that you're willing to stand in line for so that you can be one of the first to buy their newest, latest, and greatest product. That's called intimacy. Now, when you take a look at that overall value chain and maintaining control, what you really want to look at as you build out that relationship is taking what was a lead, building it into a qualified opportunity, a proposal, and then a new customer. What you've got to be able to do is once I get that customer into my funnel, I have to retain that client. And how do I do that? I need to be able to nurture a relationship by demonstrating to that customer that I understand them better than any other competitor. That gives me the ability then to upsell as well as cross-sell my portfolio of products and services to that given clientele. And so what we're going to be doing for the balance of this webinar is really taking the time to talk about how you can nurture those prospects and grow them into incredibly loyal customers. So with that as a bit of a backdrop, what I'm going to do is I am going to turn over to Chris Illman. And again, keep the questions coming in, folks. And he's going to talk about how you build those strategies out to make that prospect into a very, very loyal, long-term client. Chris, take it away.
Thank you, Barb, and great introduction, and good afternoon to everybody. So what we're going to do today is talk about some strategies and different things that I've experienced and that our company's experienced in building intimate relationships with our customers or our clients. So to get started, just a very high-level overview of one touch point just to put things in context. We believe in customer intimacy so much that we added it to our tagline. So our tagline is making every touch point matter. So we don't have a tagline that you'll see a lot in our industry of we're an information distribution company or we're a marketing services company or we're a solutions company. Our tagline is truly built, and we're putting our money where our mouth is. It's around client intimacy, making every touch point matter. And what we mean by that is we try to live that every day, our entire organization, with our multiple touches to our customers and clients, is getting to know them better and getting to understand their businesses and their customers or their clients better. We all know how important that is in today's world, particularly in our industry, trying to move from price and commodity-driven decisions and buying constituents into value-driven, intimate relationships. So at a high level, one touch point, $140 million plus company, and I'm only giving this quick rundown to put into context the size of business that we're running and the challenge of trying to become intimate with your clients when you have a fairly large business. We're spread out across the whole country. My background is I've also worked for large public companies such as Xerox and Gartner, all the way down to family-owned companies and private equity companies. And I will tell you the one common thread amongst all of those types of companies is about the approaches and the struggles to become intimate with your client. And how do you do that long-term while you're faced with short-term business results? So I know everybody on this phone, whether you work for a family company, a public company, or a privately held company, we've gotten ourselves into that 30-day cycle where we have to deliver results. But how do you do that in the context of growing and wanting long-term relationships with your clients? So at one touch point, our core services are different avenues of touching our clients and, again, trying to make every touch point matter. We've added a full suite of digital services. And anybody in our industry, we can't be afraid of digital. We have to embrace digital. And the challenge for all of us is how do we help our customers become more intimate with their key customers? That's true value. That will help drive us out of a commodity price-driven market. Most companies today will tell you, or the approach is one of people, process, and technology. I will tell you that that is becoming more passe and old because everybody's got great people, everybody's got great technology, everybody's got a great process. I think if you look into the middle of our experience, that's the lesson for all of us, becoming more vertical focused, really trying to understand the industry challenges of our clients. That's how we become more intimate. So I would say that in today's world, in 2015 and beyond, the experience factor, particularly utilizing data, becoming innovative in utilizing that data and applying it to a certain vertical of our customer clients is going to be the key to success. Companies of all different types, whether you're B2B or whether you're B2C, have challenges on finding customers, nurturing those customers, and as Barb said, converting those leads or prospects into a client or a customer. The companies today can no longer just use mass media. They have to use omni-channel. They have to use information. What's interesting, if you look at the statistics today, particularly in the B2B world, which most of us, I believe, on this webinar are from, 60 to 70% of the buying process today is done online before a supplier is even contacted. So when you look at a challenge of intimacy, it's both pre-sale and then post-sale. But how do you become intimate when 60 to 70% of the process is done online? I think the compelling question for us, particularly in our industry, but I will tell you it's for any industry, that compelling question is, how do you get intimate in an increasingly online world? And I'm going to talk a little bit about some strategies to do that. When Larry gets on from Kohler, he'll talk to you a little bit about that. But you've seen how people are changing how they buy, particularly in the B2C world. If you really look at, you'll hear the new buzzwords of referrals and trusted networks. Well, what are referrals and what are trusted networks? Well, those are things like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. It's all those types of things that drive trusted referral networks. You see growing in multi-level marketing. And multi-level marketing used to get used to be referred to as Avon or Herbalife, but it's much different now. It is personal trainers, it's integrative nutrition, it's P90X, it's things like Zolpada. Those are trusted networks. Those are that my friends are buying those things and I see what a difference it's making in their life, so then I'm buying them too. So how do we as a company, how do you exist in that world when more and more people are buying through trusted networks or buying online and I can't reach them on a mass customization basis?
Hey, Chris, I do have a question for you that came in from the audience. Chris, you're talking about this in terms of the need for referrals and kind of social media and those types of things. What do you think the differences are and the channel perspective in terms of using some of those social networks, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, in the B2B space versus the B2C space?
Yeah, great question. I think that in the B2B space, it definitely is a challenge for a lot of B2B companies because in the B2C space, it's easier for those types of companies. So what I mean by that, you know, if you're an Apple, if you're Kraft, you're folks like that, you're selling directly to the consumer. If you're Procter & Gamble, you're utilizing those channels a lot. For us, I would suggest in our industry, using LinkedIn, using corporate Facebook pages, things like that to share successes, to share what differences you've made maybe at a client, case studies. Those are the types of things we're trying to do, you know, in an online world or a referral world for us, particularly in LinkedIn.
Okay. Thanks.
So great question. So if you look at a strategy and you really think through what's going on out there, today's model for success, you look at what Accenture has done a lot of research in, McKinsey. There's a great book called The Discipline of Market Leaders from Tracy and Wiersema, if I could pronounce her name, sorry. But they talk about strategies on customer intimacy, and they identify the areas of, you know, operational excellence, product leadership, and customer intimacy. Typically in today's day and age, and you look at our industry, intimacy or customer intimacy is the differentiator, because unless you can produce a product like a Kohler, like a Tesla, like Apple, where you are under that product differentiation and you clearly have the best product out there, you can maybe not be as operationally excellent, or you don't have to maybe have as much intimacy. I would tell you, you need to be industry benchmarked or standard, but if you have a great product, you can sell it even with some of those other things. But in our industry, you look at intimacy has to be the differentiator, because the products we produce, a press is a press is a press, right? An internal operating system, everybody can have access to all those things. So my press or my digital device isn't any better than somebody else's. But what can be different is the strategy or the approach in customer intimacy. So a couple of examples of that would be one of our larger clients, which is USAA. So if you look at USAA, they have gotten their target audience down, back to what Barb was saying about knowing who they are. They took their audience to military and their families, and they have honed everything you see in all the products they sell. They're extremely operationally excellent. They have great products, but their products are insurance products. A lot of people sell insurance products. But they got so intimate and so defined in their market that they have grown to be one of the largest insurance companies in the United States of America. A simple premise, but very powerful. And again, for us, intimacy is a journey. It's not a once-in-a-moment thing. You have to stay committed to that. We have to stay away from the one-time transactions, defining ourselves, and moving into longer-term value over a long period of time. So it all starts with customer intimacy. You need to know who your clients are, what they want, why they want it. And a great example of that is looking at one of the clear leaders in the marketplace, like a Salesforce.com. Their key selling premise, truthfully, is telling you or selling to companies and telling them how they can become more intimate with their clients. That is actually a foundation of Salesforce.com, and it's a foundation of the fact that they are so laser beam focused on intimacy that their product and their service solution is all about helping clients become more intimate with their client. So intimacy, really, it has three components. It has the insight, understanding who your clients are, moving more and more into a vertical focus and a vertical understanding of your clients' problems. You can truthfully never get away from technology, so you need technology and data. And then it's we live in a multi-channel, omni-channel, cross-media world. It's reaching out to clients on a regular basis in different ways.
Hey, Chris, I do have another question that came in, and you know, this customer intimacy journey is a challenging one. One of the things that one of the folks said is, you know, there's clearly a lot of churn in the executive C-suite, and if you've got a group of folks that isn't real digitally marketing savvy, you know, how do you get them to understand the concepts around customer intimacy, and is there a mechanism that you've used to demonstrate value?
Yeah, great question. And I think the focus gets into short-term versus long-term and getting the focus, particularly in our industry, off of internal versus external. And what I mean by that is simply this. In our industry, we typically measure things like value add, or we measure things in estimate versus actual. We measure things internally focused, which is what those examples are, and we're measuring those things on a short-term point-in-time basis. So the data that you need to try to use to explain to people is the lifetime, and you'll hear this being talked about a lot, but the lifetime value of a client, or the lifetime value of a customer. And you'll see one of the things that and Larry will talk about is typically, and by the way, you look at that lifetime value, Kohler's been a client for over 30 years. for those folks who have probably bought a Kohler product, you rarely would ever go buy somebody else's after you've had their product. So you've got to get people to understand the lifetime value and not look at a point in time of just a one-off project or a one-off transaction and show that data. Because we all know it's easier to grow a business from a program perspective or annuity-based revenue perspective than one-off when you're jumping from lily pad to lily pad. That's a tough way to make a living. And you also see that's catching up if you really look at a Walmart, which Walmart, you know, and a Target, they actually serve customers, but they are point-in-time transactional and trying to change. You look at aggregate revenues for those types of retailers, their revenues are actually down a bit. So that would be an example of you got to bring out short-term focus versus longer-term focus. And again, it's not easy, but you have to look at the long-term value and the long-term profit of a client versus short-term.
Great. Good answer. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to kind of get into to some of the data, right? Because we all talk about, and in most industries, data is king or data is the holy grail. And there are some statistics to back that up. Hopefully people have seen that. I believe by the year 2017, and I think Larry will touch a little bit on this, the CMO will actually outspend the CIO when it comes to technology and data. So traditionally, you know, in the technology world, we grew up through hardware, right? And that's where the CIO was spending all of their money. So in the early, call it late 80s and the 90s, early 2000s, the CIO were spending money on networks, hardware, software, storage, all of those types of hard dollar type investments. But now you see, after all that's been done, now all of a sudden it's like you're back to how do you grow in an economy that maybe isn't a high growth? How do you use all this data? So now you see the CMOs coming into that and onto the scene, needing to spend money on data analytics, needing to spend money on dashboards, needing to spend money on campaigns, and you will just see that growing and growing and growing. And the reason why is because most customers or most businesses that have customers and clients, remember, individuals, here's an example, they can be price buyers, value buyers, they can buy different things at different times. So a good way to look at this is that, you know, we as individuals, you know, we might buy an office supply primarily on price. We may go to buy groceries based upon personal tastes, right? So we might buy clothes based upon fashions or what a friend is wearing. So increasingly, that is why data becomes more and more important, whether it's in the B2C world or in the B2B world, because you can't define value the same way even to certain individuals or certain businesses. Depending on what they want and when they want it, they may be buying it in a different manner with different values in mind at that point in time. So that is how important data is going to become. And in our industry, that is really where we think we can make a difference in what printing companies or marketing services companies can do. So it starts with getting insights and optimizing, you know, your clients and understanding, you know, their intimacy and where they go. And I'd like to say that, you know, intimacy is talked about in a lot of ways, and you can't fake it. And so an example I would have is if anybody's ever, and I don't want to pick on any large brand, but since we've all experienced it, I'll tell you a little bit about Enterprise Rent-A-Car. If you've ever rented from Enterprise, you will know that you are greeted probably four times with people asking you the same question, how was my flight and where am I going? And what I would say to Enterprise is that, number one, you don't have to ask that four times, and you should know where I'm going because I just landed into your city, and you should know that where my flight was coming from because I obviously booked it online, and one of the questions they ask is, where are you coming from? So that would be an example of how not to maybe do intimacy or not use data in the right way. But a strategy for growth I want to share is at one of our locations, which is a smaller location, we tested out going after clients, not customers. And what I mean by that is looking at certain verticals and becoming very intimate with your clients versus chasing jobs or projects. And we've done that over the last 3 years in one of our smaller locations. in the last 3 years has actually grown in double digits, both top line and bottom line, and are running at nearly 2x what our industry margins are. So we purposefully went at that strategy, tested it out, and I believe that is an example of a success story that it can be done. So that's a good short-term versus long-term example. So when you're looking at developing customer acquisition models, you have to look at the data. You have to understand choosing what type of clients you want to go after to become more intimate, because, again, one of the common themes of customer intimacy is you can't just do it over a broad spectrum of anybody and everybody, right? The word intimacy exudes I know you, you know me, and I'm there for you no matter what long term. So you want to be very careful on choosing your markets. And that gets into using insight to drive results or using data. So one of the common questions is, well, if it's so simple or you have all this data, why aren't you doing it? And you'll see that more and more companies still struggle to do this. And it's because, and what I mean by this is the personalized campaigns or doing things to become more intimate with your clients. It's still perceived as too hard. It's still perceived as too slow. And I believe one of the other things that more and more companies miss, and Larry will talk a little bit about this, that they don't miss, that Kohler does very well, is talking about a call to action, right? A call to action within using data sets, or a compelling call to action. So an example of that would be, or would not be, like if you were to generate a $10 coupon to Nordstrom's, that would not be a compelling call to action, because a $10 off shopping at Nordstrom, you know, wouldn't be in line. So it still is difficult. You still need to really look at the call for action and utilizing data better. The statistics are there. So highly personalized, even direct mail, if you look at all the statistics, still is generating a 6.5% response rate, which is still much higher than traditional email marketing or traditional online marketing. And I would tell you that will go even higher when you combine it with a compelling, meaningful call to action.
Chris, I do have one question. You know, we're in a world where there's a ton of data out there. And I tell everybody we've got tons of data and in some instances not a lot of information. How are companies turning that huge volume of data ranging from, you know, transaction data to, you know, social media data to, how are they translating that into actionable insight for their businesses?
So what I believe is really going on there, and if you look at how some leading companies are utilizing data on your day-to-day type business, is an example of, and I won't name the name, but they do a phenomenal job. It's in the financial services industry. And what the first thing they're doing is not only building big data set fact sets, but they're also hiring data analytic people. So if for those of us who have young kids in college, I would tell them, learn data, you will get a very high-paying job very quickly, and you can wear jeans and sandals to work every day. An example of that is in financial services, where when you call in to a call center for a large, well, I'll just name it, it's E-Trade. When you call into E-Trade, they have the statistics behind who's calling in. So if John Smith is calling in and he has $500,000 in assets with E-Trade, he will get a senior-level advisor taking his phone call, where if it's John Jones calling in, who's only got $100,000 assets, he may just get a junior person on the phone. And that truly is, and the reason why they're doing that is they're looking at the higher valued person being, again, back to short-term, long-term. They can't afford to lose client A versus client B. So that's just a way of using the data sets that they have, they know. And the other key thing is it's live, so it's in real time. And that's one of the things we forget with data, is we really all need to understand how to help clients using data in real time. So I'm buttoned up here against the end. So I want to tell you that it's a challenge. It's a long-term journey. We at One Touch Point have developed technology called UConnect that is trying to address some of these challenges of data and understanding and knowing our clients better. But again, that technology is only the on-ramp. So I would tell you that becoming an industry leader in customer intimacy is a long-term committed project. You have to be able to, and the challenge is to sustain that focus, because you will have short-term pressures from people and business results and clients all the time. So don't give into the short-term pressures. Develop internal consistencies, and don't be afraid of the radical change that it is. So I want to thank everybody. I'm going to turn it over and would love to introduce Larry Neustel, Manager of Advertising Production from Kohler, one of obviously the leading brands that are out there. And Larry is, and we must hopefully be doing something intimate, because Larry's been a client for over 30 years. So thank you. So Larry, I'm going to turn it over to you, and thank you, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Larry Neustel from the Kohler Company. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself and then about our company, and then we'll get into a couple of case studies. First of all, I've been working with Kohler for almost 36 years, and I started out as a graphic designer many years ago, worked my way up through the ranks, worked directly with Herbert V. Kohler on a number of projects throughout the years, and learned early on that there's a single high-quality level of ways to do things. And next slide, our mission statement talks about that level of gracious living. So it's to enhance the level of gracious living for everyone touched by our products and services. A little bit about Kohler. We were founded in 1873 and still privately held. Over 30,000-plus employees around the world, and 49 manufacturing locations. And we do, as Chris mentioned, have a 30-year relationship with One Touch Point. I took the fulfillment program over probably about 8 to 9 years ago, and that was a program that was basically we printed things and put them at a place, a location, a fulfillment house, and shipped them out. Then we moved it over to One Touch Point, and we've began automating things, using software, some of the neat programs, including the UConnect that CCI One Touch Point has, and we've built a really robust program. So a little bit more about our company. So you see that, I mean, everybody hopefully knows about our plumbing products and knows that we have a lot of wonderful kitchen and bath products. But in addition, we have four other business units, and that's our hospitality group. And we have a five-diamond hotel right here in Kohler. And we also own a property, the Old Course Hotel in Scotland. And then as well, we own our golf courses, and we will be playing host to the PGA Championship in just a couple of weeks, a few weeks from now, on our Whistling Straits golf course. And in addition to that, we have our interiors group, Baker Furniture and Ansack Stone and Tile, Callista, McGuire Outdoor Furniture, and then we have our Global Power Group. We have our engines, and we also have our generators, and that's a little bit about Kohler Company. And then our locations, we are located, as you can see, we're a global company and located around the world. And then we'll get into our challenges, our opportunities with One Touch Point. So when we brought the program over there, again, it was pretty much print literature and ship it out, and that was it. And we had one program. We would host events, and we'd have showrooms that would want to host an event, and we had an old process where the showroom would want to host an event. They'd get a hold of somebody at Kohler, the marketing department, or in the advertising department. And then we would get a project started. We'd design it. We'd get levels of approval through the management. And it would be 6 to 8 weeks, and then we'd have something in the mail. It was stressful and pretty slow. And then there were some occasions where the sales reps would get so upset with things taking so long that they would do their own invites for their own events in their showrooms, inviting customers in. And because they were doing their own, they basically designed their own invites. They didn't have they really weren't following our brand standards, and there really wasn't any way to track them. And they got them in the mail a little sooner, but it really didn't represent the company. So what we did is working with the Uconnect and One Touchpoint, we had the need to send the communication, and what we did is we have it online through the Uconnect program, and we have customized templates that are out there, and they're personalized for the store locations, and they're able to upload their logo and their information, and then they can, from the site, they can build their invite, and within 48 to 72 hours, they can print and mail. There's also digital versions. They can upload, if they have a email list, they can upload the email mailing list and then do an e-blast out to the people that do it all digital. Or they can print and mail, like I said, in 48 to 72 hours. And then there's also tracking to see who opens the invites up. So we took a program that was that could take anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, and now within 48 to 72 hours, somebody can have their invites in the mail for their showroom program.
Larry, I do have a question for you. Somebody wanted to understand a bit about the structure. When you're running an event, is the actual sales arm a direct Kohler rep, or is it a distribution channel that's hosting that event?
This is a distribution channel. These are showrooms that are holding. It's a distributor showroom, for instance.
Okay.
Kohler does not sell direct. We sell through our distributor network. And I shouldn't say we don't sell everything direct. There are some service parts and things we will sell direct. But we still work through a distributorship or in the retail level in Home Depot, Lowe's, stores like that.
This is really supporting, I say this, it's really supporting that overall distribution network that you've got for your products and solutions and making it easy for them to sell more of what you've got.
Yes, definitely. And hosting these events gets potential customers into the showrooms. And just to show you a little bit about, this is how the website looks, and this is how we have our, you can see some of our invites there. And that they can do, personalized postcards, note cards, training invites for, kitchen demonstrations or bathing product demonstrations. And then this just gives you an example of a couple of the direct mail cards, again, showing some of the events there. We have templates out there, and you see the one on top is for kitchens. The one on the bottom is for bathing products or for an event that's more focused on the bath products. And then in email, you can see on the other side the same thing. We have email templates that are out there. And showrooms can build their own invites, and they're in control.
One other quick question that came in, Larry. Does this level of support really make those dealers more loyal to you as a supplier of those specific products?
Yes, they do. It's the one thing we hear loud and clear from our showrooms is that they need our support, they need our materials, they need our digital and printed forms of communication.
Great.
And this is this shows you just the site and some of the things that are available. And so, really, we developed that program for Kohler Plumbing, Sterling, and Callista. And since then, we've expanded it to Baker Furniture, to AMSACs, and we're in the process of expanding it to our Kohler Power Group. We decreased the time to market, the mailing time, from 6 to 8 weeks to 72 hours. And then we have the flexibility of creating co-hosted events. And the collateral, it's all templated, so it can be easily updated. And we have the brand consistency, so we're able to accomplish all of that with this program.
That's great.
And so then the challenge number two, this is, you know, we basically were in the mode of sending product literature out and sales pieces out to the field, and we lost a lot of leads. So we worked with One Touchpoint to create a program where every time there's a phone call or we're sending some collateral out, we're turning these into leads that are reported back to Kohler Company, entered into our CRM, and available for our sales force to use. And in some cases, the leads are being pushed out directly to some of our distributors. Whoa, what happened there? All right. There was some double clicking going on. Okay. So the original process is that we had about, it could take at least a 4 weeks to get something, to get a lead out so that our sales force could actually follow up on it and use that lead. And the process was we would take in leads from a website, from anyone that ordered a piece of literature or something from Kohler. We took the leads from the website. The CRM team was taking in leads. And, again, they were combining these. The people that are running the website combined leads, and they would send, like, a lead report at the end of the week, and then we would get it to an agency. And then an advertising agency would create a letter based on a lead letter based on what type of lead it was. If it was for, say, our bathrooms or our kitchens or whatever the business was, they would then send it to the fulfillment house. They would print the letter. They'd kit it with their materials and then send it out. And, again, that process took anywhere, you know, up to 4 weeks and sometimes longer. So then we started working with One Touchpoint, and what we're able to do now is, since they are involved and our website is linked directly to yours and our call center is, what we can do is the leads come in on the website directly to One Touchpoint, and they come in from a call center at One Touchpoint, and also for magazine leads, so it's coming into the same place. And in real time, they're creating a personalized URL. And if we're given the email address, we send that out immediately. And then within 24 hours, a letter is printed, lead letter is printed, and that, again, is printed depending on if they're interested in something for the kitchen or the bath. It's personalized. And then we'll combine that with their samples and their fulfillment or their collateral, and then we'll fulfill that and send that out. So that whole process can be done within 24 to 48 hours. And it just shows you the consumer site, the Kohler site, where they can click on literature and then bounces over to the One Touchpoint site. And these are just examples of some of the things we have on our the One Touchpoint site that they can download, or they can order print-on-demand pieces, or they can order static literature if it's an inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And this just shows you, this is one of our more popular items. We're also charging for some of our literature, more expensive pieces to produce. And people, again, they can order them. They can order as many as they want. And this is one of the personalized letters that goes out. This is one of our lead letters. So when somebody calls in and calls in or through the web, they're looking for something, this is, again, one of the templated letters that we would send out. And in addition, we're also listing like the 9 nearest showroom locations near to that person. And then so the results are, you know, we went from 3 suppliers down to 1. And it really dramatically improved the time to market from sometimes 4 weeks down to 24 hours. And then we expanded the program from print or what was just static to an email online offering that as well. And we have templates, so we know we have brand consistency. And that's it.
Well, now I have a number of questions from the audience relative to what you're doing. One of the first ones is that, so if I'm a distributor of your specific product, what number of decisions can I make if I'm a distributor relative to the content? How much customization can I do from that website? And is it, you know, a simple drop-down set of options? What can I do to make it mine so that not only have I optimized my experience, but I'm communicating at the right level to my customer base as that distributor?
Well, they can customize it by type of event. Again, if it's a kitchen product, a bathing product, a faucet product, or furniture, whatever the event or the products that we're trying to sell, they can upload their logo, or they can choose from their store logo if this is a repeat customer. We have sample text. We have a variety of photos. It isn't just one photo, so they do get a couple of choices for photos. So really they're building their own invite to that event. And it's really highly customizable.
And then they upload the list, and then you handle all the mailing, kitting, and fulfillment for that.
Correct. That's one touch point that handles all of that for
us. Okay, right. So that's part of the way that you approach it.
Right.
Got it.
And if they have an email address, then we're sending out an e-communication as well. So we can do printed or print on demand or email.
Now, how do you educate your distributors on the utilization of the system so that they're using it effectively?
We have a sales news bulletin that goes out. I believe it's twice a month, if I'm not mistaken, or it can be sooner if we've got something new coming online. But we do have a regular e-newsletter that goes out to the sales force. We do bring our sales force in groups throughout the year for training, and we typically have a distributor conference at the end of the year where they're all invited into Kohler.
Okay, terrific. Now, when you take a look at the decision to initiate e-commerce, does each distributor decide when they're going to do whatever event they're going to do, and it's at their discretion, or do you encourage a certain number of events?
That's a little outside of my area in advertising.
Okay.
But I know that I know there are. We do have programs in place that we help them with some of the co-ops and things like that for the events. So I know we help them out on some of those. How's that?
Okay. So there's some level of cooperative program between you and the distributor relative
Correct.
To the overall program. Okay. Now, the next question is, you know, and I'm going to say this in a nice way. We want to know, somebody wants to know how you got so smart. And when I say that, my question is, did you sit down and say, I need a web portal and approach one touch point, or did one touch point come to you and say, Larry, we got a great idea?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one because I think it's a little bit of both. We were moving in that direction, but one touch point had, when we went out to look for a new supplier for that, one touch point had what we wanted. They were already out in the industry. They were already doing what we wanted, and they really showed us what it could be, the process could be at Kohler. So, I'd have to say they came to us with what we were looking for.
Okay. Now, the next question is, so from the point in time that you decided this was what you wanted to do until it was implemented, how long did it take you?
Well, we moved an old process, so I really don't want to count all of the – we did an inventory check to really to purge what we weren't using, what was in inventory. We did a full check of the inventory, moved a lot of paper-type materials. I would say to – I don't want to exaggerate, but it was probably no more than, I'd say, 6 weeks. 8 weeks before we got the site up live and we shifted things over.
Okay, that's pretty quick, by the way.
Yeah, it's all, okay, good. I thought it sounded like a long time, but it went.
No. That's pretty quick. Now,
if I
this
cut
is,
out all the physical stuff out of there, the inventory counting and all of that, that was it for working with them to get the program up.
Okay, now this is a question for Chris that came in. Chris, so do you take this solution that you've got and would you white label it so that other people in the industry could, in fact, go out and sell it?
That's a great question. The answer is yes, we would. We would not shut ourselves off to any of those opportunities. I think that gets back to companies understanding who you are and what you're going to be. So that would start putting – that would be asking the question, do we want to go into the technology selling business or the software or cloud-based solution business? So the answer would be possibly.
Okay. Now, then the next question, and I'm going to throw this to both Chris and Larry. And I think this has got a kind of a multi-part answer. So the question becomes – What did it cost to implement something like this, and what's the overall return on investment been for your business at Kohler, Larry? So I don't know if you've got a subset of parameters or if, Chris, you could help out there, but what was the implementation cost? And then, well, there were dollars and cents obviously spent on that. What's the ROI been to your business? So somebody answer that, please.
Well, okay.
Chris, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one.
Well, Kohler's a lot like GE, so how about the cost was not much? No.
Okay.
and the program's working really well, so that's why we're still there. How's that?
I think, and I'm not just saying this, I think when you get into a question of customer intimacy, I'm going to go back to that long-term, short-term focus. So there was an investment both in dollars and in time on both sides. So it was, I'll call it a fair price. It was, not six figures, but I think Larry would admit that it was a fair price on both sides. So, and
yes.
I think what happens is going forward, there are, when you get into this intimacy, right, you're getting into more custom solutions and those types of things. So what Kohler and Larry and his team have done over the years, and actually now with other divisions or other key stakeholders, is they've customized a lot of things because, again, the approach was long-term, being intimate with your client. So an example of that is what Baker Furniture wants may be different than the Plumbing Products Group, even though they're both owned by Kohler and the Volt Kohler. So there are those types of things, and so there are other ongoing costs based upon customization. But it was not what I would call really expensive or anything like that to do this.
Okay, let me just make a quick comment on that. And I tell everybody this when they ask that question, but I thought I'd at least throw it out to you. But the one thing I would tell everybody is there are no two businesses when you're implementing something like Larry and Chris implemented that are identical. These are custom projects, and every single one of them is a little bit different. There's a core set of components that cut across every business. There are always custom elements. And so the real thing that you've got to take a look at if you're evaluating the overall price-cost structure is getting somebody like Chris in to say, okay, let's define exactly what you want. Let's build out a statement of work, and then we'll figure out what the costs are. And so I tell everybody that's really the right approach. And then figure out not just what it costs, but what the overall benefit is to your business in terms of better events, more targeted events, maintenance of the brand, all of those things that align with offering this as a service, and the loyalty, by the way, of your distributor, that align to this being a great service to the distribution network. So just sort of a quick comment on cost. I'll keep an eye on the Q&A tab, but I am going to wrap up with just a couple of final comments. I think the message that you heard, and I think you heard it from both Chris and Larry, is regardless of the business you're in, knowing your customers' needs and building out that intimate relationship has substantial benefits. It means that I'm going to increase loyalty. It means that I can have a single, unified view of customer interactions. I can drive more and more referrals from my loyal customer base. I can anticipate customers' changing needs. And I wind up doing a substantially better job at both retaining and gaining new customers. And so when you think about it, and I think what both Larry and Chris told you is, you really want to make sure that you're gathering all the data you can and building out an integrated view of your customers. You've got to make sure that you've got a plan and target communications at the right time, right place, via the right channel. You have to, and I thought Chris did a great job of articulating this, look at where the customer is in the life cycle of the relationship with you and your company. You know, what we're seeing is, and I'll pick the financial services market, what they're trying to do is pick up customers at birth, if I'm a bank, set up a savings account, those types of things, and keep them until they die to optimize the life cycle investment. You need to act on every response. And the programs that these guys are running relative to, you know, people coming in from ads and dialing in for information and acting on those response quickly is absolutely pivotal. And so you really want to trigger sales and account management so that and then track those behaviors and responses. And last but not least, any data that you gather, continually enrich it so that you can then sit down and enhance further communications with that client. What I'd like to do now, I don't see any additional questions coming in, is I would like to thank everybody for their time and attention this afternoon. And I would also suggest to you that if you haven't taken a chance or had the opportunity, please take a minute to fill out the webinar survey. And again, on behalf of Canon Solutions America, the sponsor, I'd like to thank everybody for their time and attention. Have a great rest of the day, and good luck, and I hope you go off and build tremendously intimate relationships with your customers.